The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and she said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We crave to be righteous. Nobody wants to be wrong or to admit being wrong. We don't like it. I never met a person who says, "I'm wrong and I'm proud to be wrong." But it really is evidence that we are made in God's image. This righteousness that we profess to have, I would love to have in our lives, is in fact from God. But the truth is that we even go to great lengths to prove that we are right. It makes me think of those two ladies who went to King Solomon and say, "Please help us here." She says that this is her baby and this is mine. And then Solomon had to solve the problem by saying, "Okay, I will bring this baby and cut it in half." And the real mother says, no, I'm going to have this lady." But we all want to be right, don't we? Everybody I've met, they want to be right, to be proved that they are right. And here, the life of Abraham, our ancestor, by faith, serves as an example to us to learn more about our own journey to righteousness in front of a holy God. Today's scriptures have all one theme in common, and that's faith. And the discussion is hearty, and it goes with these questions. What makes us acceptable to God? Or what does God require of us? Have you thought of that? What does God require of us? You see, often we think that it's only by our own efforts that we can be holy and acceptable to God. But for Abraham, it was the other way around. It was by God's initiative to make him righteous in response to his faith, and takes relationship between you and your God. You see, Abraham's wife, Sarah, was about 65 years old when they started following God, and God gave them a promise that they will have ancestors, the descendants that are way numerous than the sands of the on the ocean, or the counting the stars in the sky. That's the number, as much as the number of descendants that he was going to have. That's the promise that he got. And she was way past childbearing age. And Abraham's faith did not weaken despite the compelling facts like old to give birth. But because of his trust in God, he was counted as righteous. In the same way, I think this is playing out also with Matthew, the tax collector, because Jesus calls him out of his bubble world to follow him. It was as if basically Jesus was crafting this spiritual door there. So come, follow me. Come out of that bubble, self-made bubble world you live in. Come and follow me. We are also called to exit our self-made bubble world, to live lives that we were meant to live, lives of faith. I pray that today we learn what that entails. But I want to begin by painting the life of faith with Abraham. God called him and gave him instruction to leave his home and to an unknown place. It's hard to leave things we've come to see and appreciate and love to the things that you don't see. So he obeyed, and God gave him his promises. That was a relationship of trust there. He says, I'm willing to walk with you in all honesty, and I'm not going to hold anything back. You know, like, I really love to walk with you. I want to walk with you, but there are chambers in my life that not really, I'm not going to give you that part. But that part is for me. So it's that relationship of trust that it's everything. I want to trust you. I'm following you. I'm going to go where you say you take me. And I am going. It's almost like blind faith, but he really went. All of himself, he really did go. And he says, the stronger your faith, the harder it's going to be tested. And God said to him, trust me, I will make of you a great nation. And of course, Sarah couldn't wait. She made her own plan, which was a big boo-boo in God's plans. But finally, she did learn that she was destined to become a mother after all. It took 30 years. Now, figure this, for you who are very much scientific, even more than I am. She was 95 when that baby finally came. 95 years old. Talking about waiting. 30 years, eventually that baby came. If you are a Christian believer, you are in a covenant relationship with God. Trust God in everything, no matter what the real struggle is. It may be a storm. I don't know what that struggle, that pain is. Trust God to carry you through it. Imagine if God was to review our lives so far at this point, the stuff that you went through in the past, the struggles, the fights, the misunderstandings, the failed relationship, all the things that has happened to you. What in those moments, what were the moments that were moments of faith? Moments of faith. Is it this much? Is this much? What were the most times where we were complaining? Is this much? Is it this much? I don't know. But we do have a record. We do have a record of that sort. And Paul told the Romans, learn for Abraham's journey of faith. He knew we worry too much and fret about things. And he said, because of God's gift of promise, Abraham did become our faith father. When everything was hopeless, when he couldn't see a way, he still believed anyway that God was going to come through as he said he would. It took faith. So God does love our faith. He loves our faith. And guess what? We do lose our faith. Our faith does fades with time. And we need to rekindle that faith. And this is what we read in Hosea, that Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away. Is that a reality for us? It was like a warning to his audience. He tells them, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Or is your love like a fleeting emotion that goes away? Do you really love me? And God does ask that question to us. And am I in love with my God? Do I love God? What does demonstrate that I love my God? And oh, I pray, Lord, increase my love for you. Increase my faith. And I want to talk about Matthew, the tax collector, that is featured in our gospel message. I am imagining him as this extravagant guy because he lives in a place where there's a big road, and then he's basically having to tax a lot of people. So you could say he was very wealthy. So I'm going to try to imagine more about maybe what he might not have been, but I'm going to try to imagine more. I'm thinking I didn't bring my watch, but it means he could have had a Rolex or a Ferrari, an impressive stock portfolio, a vacation house, you know, a really comfortable, cushy bubble world. And Jesus calls Matthew out of that world. Follow me. I have much, much better things that would make you happy. Me, in me, you will have real, lasting happiness. But that world that Abraham was in, God calls him out of that comfort. He calls Matthew, tax collector, out of that comfort. Told him, follow me. And Matthew, looking around, me? You talking about me? Yes, yes, you. Follow me. That voice that echoes in every chamber of our minds, it's you I'm talking about. Follow me. Follow me. It's as if Jesus was saying, Matthew, no more using tricks to get wealthier. No more fights. No more saying, oh, if I were to get a third car, I will be happy. If I would buy this, if I get this amount of money, I will be happy. No more of that. Follow me. Follow me. This call is also in our lives and it prepares us to change our perspective. Maybe for some of us, it will be looking at things from the eyes of the poor or from the eyes of God that is caring and reaching out to everyone, even your enemies. God is reaching out because they are all his children. And look at God's perspective, that all his children. Think about that. It is a call that is inviting us to sober up from our drivenness, from our stubbornness, from our anger, from our drowsiness, and our intoxication from all this environment of negativity that we've been living in, sometimes caused by the superficiality and shallowness of this high life living trap, like that world of bubble that Matthew the tax collector was living in. And Jesus was telling him, come out of that. Come out of that hunger of the things that will never satisfy you. You will always want more, and then you'll be disappointed when you don't get them. But I will really satisfy the real hunger that is in your heart. I will satisfy that. I like what Bishop Barron wrote when he says, Jesus calls us to walk like he walks, to see like he sees, to think like he thinks, and to try to find a way towards detachment from worldly pursuits. And I am part of it as well. And I have to try harder each day to try to remove myself from that love and pursuit from worldly goods. It's the only way we can break free from our comfortable bubble worlds. And I promise you, this is my last quote, and it is from our very own Father Marx. And this is what I consider to be a good discipleship walk. And this is what he taught in one of the retreats that we've had before. He says, God is love. We must become love, constantly mending our ways and letting God mend us and heal us. Amen.